This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Zoran Mamdani has been called the internet's mayor. He's a 34-year-old New York Assembly member whose campaign videos, TikToks and street clips have made him a global case study on what happens when politics goes viral.
Gender, sexuality and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
What stands out to you about Zoran Mamdani's story? Why has it captured so much attention beyond New York?
Yeah, this is tricky because I think there will be many, many attempts to replicate what went on here and try and make this a thing in other cities around the world. And it's always going to be difficult in terms of which combination of ingredients made this a success story. But the reason it's certainly capturing a lot of attention, he's 34 years old. So if you look at politics in America, but politics around the world generally, it's an older person's game. Mm-hmm. He's brown. Both of his parents are Indian and he was born in Uganda. So there's that aspect of it. There's the politics of it in the sense that he identifies as a Democrat socialist, which again, if you think of the politics of the United States at the moment, that is really far removed from where the federal government is. So there are three factors that I think sort of have seen him rise above to break it into the Australian media cycle, let alone around the world. Those three factors are the big components. The other aspect, of course, is everyone is interested in New York because it's the United States' biggest city. It's a cultural contribution hugely, and it's a population of just under 9 million.
I would imagine that there would be some in the Democratic Party that would be saying, okay, this is exciting for us, let's contain ourselves. But there might be some as well saying, well, hang on a second, being a socialist, does that give Donald Trump ammunition to attack the party?
Yeah, so just as I was with you before we came on air, asking you to moderate your excitement, we all have to moderate our excitement because I think there is a tendency to run away with this kind of thing in our excitement and think that one city can speak on behalf of the entire country. And I think this is a trap that, you know, we've all fallen into many times in the US. It's a very, we're talking 350 million people with very, very diverse politics. And the politics on the coasts has always been very different to the middle of the country. So we just need to be careful. The other cautionary note here for a lot of Democrats is also, does the party move to the left? Does it become more progressive? Or is that actually what tripped up Kamala Harris? Now, this, again, there'll be people listening who say, hang on, Kamala was nowhere near left enough. Others will say she was too left. And this is the tension that any so-called big tent party has. There are a range of views in that party. They all rally under this label of Democrat, but that spectrum is very, very wide, from the Bernie Sanders wing to far more people that we'd probably, Joe Biden is a classic example of someone who would be seen as much more centrist. And trying to offer candidates that meet all of those people is incredibly difficult, which is why we constantly hear that frame, who is the leader of the Democrat Party at the moment? There really isn't one. And I think that that's going to be that struggle going into the midterms, but into also the next federal election in the US.
Donald Trump, I think, did he threaten to say he was going to cut off funding to New York if Mamdani won? Has there been any movement around that? And what can he do?
There hasn't yet. I think there's a few layers in terms of difficulty as to how much trouble Trump can cause him. Trump does, or at least this is the tricky part, isn't it? Because it's not Trump's money that he will withhold. It's federal government funds, which aren't his. Yet he has the discretion through executive orders to block funding. We're seeing this happen already. So in terms of what can Trump do to a mayor, the idea of making it difficult to fund certain programs, to give only the bare minimum, one big factor that Trump has suggested might be a source of where he can actually really make an impact is withholding terrorism, anti-terrorism terrorism funding. Why the hell he would want to do that is completely bizarre, yet that threat is trying to put the mayor over a barrel. He's also doing what actually has been a lot of the anti-Mandani rhetoric in the lead up to the election, which was trying to connect him being a Muslim to somehow connecting him to terrorism. And that's the sort of, even when Trump says something like that, he's very much trying to get that into people's minds.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne about how Zoran Mandani became the internet's mayor and what his story says about power, personality and politics online. Just on that, Mandani's digital presence, it feels joyful and participatory, a sticker contest, we've got community scavenger hunts, but is that genuine connection or just clever marketing, Lauren?
Well, this is, see, I watch, you know this, I watch a lot of American news, and I've been looking at a lot of the Republican commentary on Zoran, and they constantly make comments that he's just an actor, that he's, you know, an artifice, that he's not a real person, that his connections are fabricated. Even Saturday Night Live this past weekend, had a sketch that was very much hinged towards his constant smiling. Now, I think we're in a culture, particularly because of social media, where we're always looking at things and wondering, are they real or not? And this is a subjective determination at the end of the day. There isn't a single determination of is something real or not, right? It's how does it make us feel? And whether or not you think he smiles too much, or whether his interactions with people in, you know, bodegas and delis, etc., are real or not, if individuals feel they're real, if individuals find him a genuine person, and if him as a person gives them hope for a better America, to me that feels real, even if he's someone who's also highly curated in terms of somebody who is palatable to people. I'm not sure that they're necessarily at odds with one another.
What power do, I suppose, the tech platforms have in terms of deciding who gets seen and heard?
Yeah. And this is that aspect of when we talk about algorithms, and particularly, I think, in the context of TikTok and concerns about, you know, the Chinese ownership, or when it gets, if it gets sold, how that will change in terms of the thing that makes TikTok valuable is the algorithm, is being able to work out what gets in people's feeds. That said, if we were running this conspiracy theory, which I think it's quite easy for us to fall into, particularly around things like, you know, would the election in New York be safe, or will his content be suppressed? The fact that he won indicates if that stuff was happening, it obviously wasn't particularly successful, because his popularity was actually driven by these social media companies, in the sense that young people particularly use these platforms disproportionately and were circulating his content, which is a reminder that tech companies, even if some of them, like X with Elon Musk, have a certain political agenda, their bigger agenda is keeping people on their platforms, and understanding what their people want to watch is more important to them than politics, because their whole business model is reliant on users as opposed to an allegiance to Donald Trump.
Lauren, I know we have to be cautious, but extrapolating this to, is it midterms next year, I believe?
Yes.
What do you think the potential impact could be?
So for me, one of the big exciting things about this is turnout. He got, we should mention, this wasn't the only election that happened yesterday. There were also two major governor elections that also happened in New Jersey and Virginia. Mm. So they also went to Democrats. So I think it's important not to run away with our excitement, but to also think, well, all of these elections, which normally, particularly in an off year, don't tend to get a lot of attention, these got, particularly in New York, record turnout, and particularly among young people. And young people were the ones who were swinging to Donald Trump in the last election. And that was very, very distressing for me, particularly when it looked at young men. If I look at the data in terms of where people voted here, young men went for Zoran Mandani. And that makes me feel that whatever happened with the last election doesn't mean it's forever. And that's that pendulum swinging in America, but all around the world as well with politics. Just because we had an outcome in one election doesn't mean the electorate has permanently moved in any direction.
This one came in from Adam saying, I'm so glad Madonna and her team are taking on Mark Zuckerberg, because I've been, like many, have been constantly harassed and visually stalked by Meta staff members until they got my tax file number. That's Mark has his own underworld. That's an interesting comment. Lauren?
I don't know.
Not sure either. But I'm excited that young people got out and voted too.
Yeah, but I am as well, because I think this is one of those things where the demographic is going to change in the United States. White people will not be dominated. I think it's in 5 years' time. The country is going to be browner. It's going to be blacker. And it's also younger. And the Republican Party historically has been driven by older white and generally men. It is nice to see that there is opportunities beyond that, and New York gives me some hope.
Lauren, let's not get too excited. Good to chat with you, as always.
You're the one! Talk to you next week.
See Thanks, you next Warren. Week. It's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.